T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, if you aren't ready for this one and you don't have a pulse, that's why I'm here. Rob Bradford with you, leading up to Red Sox pregame, leading up to Game 4 of the American League Championship Series. Red Sox up 2-1. Rick Porcello, Charlie Morton, and we would be remiss if I did not mention that WEEI at Night is brought to you by one of my favorite organizations, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They changed my life. I'm not just saying that. The long-term solution for weight loss is happy to announce their fifth location opening October 22nd in Littleton at Point Plaza off of 495, online at awaken180weightloss.com. Well, here we are, Minute Maid Park. Like I said, I'm Rob Bradford. We're getting ready for the game. Houston Astros right in front of me. I don't think any other show right now talking about baseball, attempting to talk about baseball, is staring out at Minute Maid Park, staring out at the Houston Astros, hitting batting practice, getting ready for the game, staring out at the Red Sox stretching, getting ready for their game. And there's a couple big items to get to out of the gate. You've been hearing it on our station all the live long day. Excellent job by all the shows touching on them as it has unfolded. Obviously, we started the day with all the controversy about the—I don't even know how you want to classify it—but the story that broke in the Boston Metro. Great job by Danny Picard to break that story of that the Houston Astros had an employee next to the dugout taking pictures, and then he was kicked out of Fenway. What we learned later was that the same thing happened with the Cleveland Indians. They complained about it, had him kicked out. He came back, had him kicked out again. So that was obviously a problem. I had a major league executive, someone with another team who was familiar with the situation, said, listen, this is a big deal. This is a big deal because we think it's been happening to us as well. This is across the board. And I know that they started the day talking about it and everyone's trying to figure it out. The Major League Baseball comes out with a statement saying, case closed, nothing to see here. The Astros were just sending this kid over to check if the Red Sox were doing anything. My first question of that, let's just start right there. Like, how is that acceptable? How can you say case closed? You can't say case closed because the one thing that we take away from this is a reminder that this is an epidemic throughout baseball. We just talked to Alex Cora down his manager's office, and he said, you know, what does he think about this? And he said, you know what the problem is? Is paranoia. The paranoia throughout the entire world of baseball. But you know why there's paranoia? Because people are doing this sort of thing. Let's assume that is what happened with that kid who went to the dugout. By the way, also, how about, I think it was A.J. Hinch said, how dare they put up the photos of the kid, the poor kid who was just in college is trying to do something for the team. Well, if you're the team, then don't send them down there to do it. It's pretty simple. So anyway, why is everyone so paranoid about that? Because that's happening. If you have a problem with, or you think you have a problem with a team or how they're doing things, or you suspect them that they're doing something, you know what you do? You go to Major League Baseball Security and you ask them to look into it. You don't send a college kid down to take pictures. That's a no-brainer. I don't know what the defense for that is. So anyway, we started the day with that. That unfolded. The Major League Baseball came out with their statement, and then we had the Astros talk, and I just mentioned that. They sort of, you know, they poo-pooed it. They have nothing to see, whatever. Okay. And then we just talked to Alex Cora. He really didn't want to get into it. Like he said, listen, this is paranoia running rampant throughout the game of baseball. And I just talked to Buster Olney down the field, and Buster was, I think he had a post up on ESPN. If he doesn't have it up, he's going to be up very shortly, about all the paranoia in baseball, that the Houston Astros actually take their bats away from the park when they leave the park, that there's teams that think the manager's offices are bugged, that there's teams that think the batting cages are bugged. this is rampant. So when Cora says that one of the biggest problems, it is paranoia, you're right. It is right. But there has to be a reason for the paranoia. And that is because basically this stuff is going on. The Red Sox, as we tweeted out last night during the game, if you watch a Red Sox game, you'll notice that even with nobody on base, the catcher has multiple signs. The reason they have multiple signs is, which is something you usually only do if you have a runner at second because you think they're going to steal the sign. If the catcher has multiple signs, that means you think someone's watching your signs. They're trying to pick up your signs. Well, who would do that? The only person that possibly could do that, if no one's at second, is a camera out in center field. So clearly, they think that's the case. They've been doing that since April, the Red Sox have, but they're not the only team to do that. So we have to pick through all this. The biggest takeaway isn't whether or not the Houston Astros cheated in Game 1 at Fenway Park. That had nothing to do with that outcome. The biggest issue here is that this surfaced a problem throughout baseball. That's what this is, a problem throughout baseball. That's why you had to revert to the mound visit rule this year. Do you remember going back to last year's postseason and you had the 50,000 mound visits by the catcher? The reason is everyone thought they were stealing signs. So now they're limited. That was the reason why they did that. It's helped a little bit, but still, you see these games there 4 hours because everything, guys stepping off the rubber, guys stepping on the rubber, the catcher stepping out, the hitters are calling time. All of it has become agonizing. And you know what the commissioner should do? And I'm going to steal this from Buster. The commissioner should just say, hey, listen, you get caught stealing, you have a year suspension. You have to come down with these things. You have to come down with the penalties. Say, if you get caught with any of this, this is not an option. We are not going to let you have the gray area of sending a kid down to the dugout and say, oh, you know what, we're just protecting ourselves. No, you can't do that. So anyway, let's get into the conversation. As I said, I'm going to be with you all the way up to the Red Sox pregame. I think Mutt's doing the pregame tonight. It's going to be awesome, as always. Then Joe and Tim with the call. But I'm going to be with you up to about 7:30, and we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about the other big news today, Chris Sale. Chris Sale is not going to pitch tomorrow. He's not going to pitch in Game 5. So that news came out. So who is going to pitch Game 5? Well, here's what we know so far. They aren't going to tell us. They are going to see how this unfolds. They don't seem very concerned at all about naming a starter, identifying someone who is going to go up against Justin Verlander. They are not going to say that right now. And some of that has to do with how tonight unfolds. David Price could come in tonight. David Price could pitch tomorrow. David Price is a guy that probably could go 4 or 5 innings tomorrow. Eduardo Rodriguez, another candidate for tomorrow. Alex Cora said he thinks he could go 3 or 4 innings. Another guy, Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly could start that game tomorrow. Those are, I think, the leading candidates to start for Chris Sale tomorrow. But in terms of Chris Sale, what you should know is that he is still weak. And when we're asking about what happened to Chris Sale, well, Chris Sale, it sounds like, from what we gather, it sounds like it was sort of one of these, I don't know if it was food poisoning, but it sounds like sort of that's along those lines. He's still not able to eat solid food. He actually lost weight, if that was possible, but they said it happened, so we'll have to take their word for it. But he is still not ready to go. They think he could be ready for Game 6. We'll see about that. If he's still not eating solid food, we'll see about that. But there's a lot to get to. I want to get you fired up for this game. As I said, this is the place to be to get ready for the only really topic that we should be talking about tonight, which is the Boston Red Sox getting the opportunity to take a 3-1 lead, which is, I don't think a lot of people thought. I think that a lot of people, certainly I'll go back to this. Game 2 in the middle of that game, I was watching the game on TV. Game 2 in the middle of that game, the national broadcasts were saying that the Houston Astros, is this Houston Astros team one of the best teams in baseball history? That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable to say that. So now we're sitting here, they're up 2-1 with a chance to go 3-1. Here's a couple clips from A.J. Hinch. He talked, Houston Astros manager, talking a little bit about the sign stealing.
AJ, obviously a lot has been made of the Astros employee who was looking into the Red Sox dugout. You know, what do you view as the state of the game when it comes to the use of technology, teams using technology to kind of examine the practices of other teams? Do you think that the game is in a healthy state with regards to mutual monitoring?
You know, I think there's some unintended consequences that come with the advancement of technology, and I certainly think it's a league-wide conversation that needs to happen in time. I mean, it's happening right now during a really important series, and I just think it's bigger than us. It's bigger than any team. It's bigger than any series. It needs to be corralled, you know, because of the state of the concern over it. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm sure it's going to be addressed. I know Major League Baseball had their statement. I know our GM Jeff Lunick had his brief media session, and they speak for the situation as of right now. But the game is so ultra competitive, and there's so small margins between really good teams and really good players, and really there's a lot at stake. So we do have to find a healthy place for everyone to be comfortable moving forward competitively, because it's a bigger topic than even one instance.
Okay, that's A.J. Hinch, manager of the Houston Astros, talking about the incident. Once again, good job by Danny Picard, Boston Metro, for surfacing this. It's been a topic all day, going to be a continued topic throughout the series, throughout baseball. It really was last year as well. When you look at, you remember that the Yu Darvish tipping his pitches, all of that. But he said, you know, this is a conversation, and you have to get to a place where you feel good about it. Well, I would just ask this. If that's the case, then what are you doing sending somebody to next to a dugout, not only for the Red Sox series, but for the Indian series, after the guy already got kicked out in Cleveland? That would be my question right there. So he has to say what he has to say. Alex Cora has to say what he has to say. But let's not just pretend like this isn't going on throughout baseball, that this isn't a huge problem. And we're talking about the time of game and the pace of play and drawing younger fans in and all of that. Well, this is part of the problem. I don't think people really understand this, that one of the reasons that people, that the games are so slow, that they drag so much, particularly when even before you got to this mound visit rule, was that teams were so paranoid about sign stealing, about that sort of thing, that it was dragging things down to a crawl. That's what was dragging these games down, and you're still going to see it. You see it tonight, you'll see it before, you see it going forward, and that's the reality of baseball. How can you fix this? You have harsher penalties. You cannot do what Major League Baseball did today. You cannot just say, case closed, we accept that the Houston Astros were sending this kid down to make sure that they weren't being cheated on. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, how is that not punishable? It's mind-boggling, because what's going to prevent someone from doing that? What's going to prevent? Because you know what happens? This is the first rule of thumb with any punishment. If you let them get away with it, then what happens to the next person? That person will say, hey, you know what? Why you let the Houston Astros get away with it? We were just checking too. It's so mind-boggling to me. Anyway, that's part of the conversation. The other one, like I said, Chris Sale, are you worried? Are you worried? Do you think the Red Sox can get through this series? How important is tonight? Alex Cora, when we just met with him, he kept using all in, all in, all in. I don't think he meant it in the literal sense that this is, we have to win this game or the series is over, that we're going to be very concerned. But this is a big game. We looked at the importance of Game 2. Winning Game 2 was so important because you knew if you got here, you were facing Dallas Keuchel, you were facing Charlie Morton, and those weren't that wasn't Verlander and that wasn't Gerrit Cole, that you had a better chance. So why is this important? Because then you go up 3-1 and you still have to face the Verlander and the Coles of the world, and you have a little leeway. And you have a little leeway, by the way, knowing that you might not have Chris Sale. They think they're going to have him for Game 6. Not eating solid foods, as someone who tried that, believe me, it is not conducive to bouncing back and pitching anytime soon. But we'll see. Maybe they know something I don't. 617-779-7937. We'll play more sound from Alex Cora. He met with the media. We'll play more from Hinch. Maybe some sound from anybody else in the press conference room here at Minute Maid Park. But as I said, there is no better place to be to get you ready for the actual baseball game tonight. That's my goal. That's my duty, is to get you jacked up, to get you ready, get you prepared, to get you informed, all of it. We'll do our best. We'll be back right after this.
Back to WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
When you hear that some teams think that you guys are really good at picking up signs, in whatever fashion. Do you take that as a compliment, or do you not like to hear that?
Today, I don't really feel like it's a compliment, but I think you always have to be cognizant of it. I mean, I think the competitive edges nowadays are so narrow. You know, you're trying to find everything you can, and whether that's pitch tipping, pitch sequencing, changing your signs, changing your location of your defenders. Again, this is a bigger topic that's going to take a lot more time than an overnight story and concern and people's curiosities. I mean, that's why I say it's league-wide. I mean, it's a conversation that's been had, largely behind the scenes as far as, you know, when a guy hits a ball well, was I doing something with my glove? Was I, did they have the signs? How many, you know, obviously they tried to corral the visits to the mound, which were out of control last year in the World Series, to now. I mean, you know, even in these playoffs, you're seeing a lot of teams go down to 1 and 2 visits left before the game ends. In the regular season, you don't see that as much, but I think there is a paranoia about what you're doing competitively to try to be your best. And when teams are curious about us, or we're curious about other teams, it's largely a distraction away from the best part of the game, which is on the field with the players.
All right, that was A.J. Hinch, manager of the Houston Astros, talking earlier today. Obviously, the hot topic that's going on ever since last night, everything's a story broke in the Boston Metro, that a Houston Astros employee was booted from the Red Sox, the photo pit next to the Red Sox the dugout, and he had been done. So also in the Cleveland Indians series, Cleveland kicked him out. Then he came back, kicked him out again. So Hinch is basically saying this is a league-wide problem. He's not wrong, but they were caught. They were caught, and just like the Red Sox were caught last year. They were caught last year with the Apple Watch thing. They had to pay the price. The Yankees were doing something too. All right, I don't think they paid quite as much of a price. Maybe they weren't doing it quite as overtly. But if you're caught, you have to pay the price. The Astros really didn't pay a price here, and that sort of baffles me. And, you know, I look at going across the board with what is happening in baseball. As I said, I talked to someone last night when this happened, when this story broke. Said, yeah, you know, this is a big story. This is a big story because this is the perception in baseball was that the Astros were doing this. That they were doing this and other things. And the perception is the Red Sox do things. I can tell you right now, the Red Sox thought the Yankees were stealing signs. You go back to that ninth inning when Craig Kimbrell's on the mound, part of the problem in terms of how long that was taking and the agony and the anxiety that they were feeling was that they were stressing out so much about the Yankees stealing the signs during that inning with Kimbrell on the mound. I can tell you for a fact that was part of the equation. It is what it is. It doesn't make the results any more bearable, but that's just the life that everybody is living right now. And so when Alex Cora says this, when A.J. Hinch says this about the paranoia, they're right, but there was a reason for the paranoia, and this is where it has to come back down on the commissioner. Something has to be done, and today, with that statement, with those actions, nothing was done. So let's go back to the calls. We can talk about this. We can talk about Chris Sale, how you feel, or how you really feel about this game, because this is a big game, and maybe we should start turning the page a little bit to the Rick Porcello versus Charlie Morton matchup. This is a big one. Talked at the beginning of the show, Alex Bregman leading off of the Houston Astros. We'll talk a little bit about why they're doing with that. I thought that was a really, really interesting move. This is one Alex Cora said, we never thought they would be taking George Springer out of the top of that lineup. But you know why they're doing this with Bregman? Because the Red Sox aren't pitching anywhere near to Bregman. Sure, he got that. He put the ball in play. That was an accident. They are saying, we're going to walk you, Alex Bregman, and make everybody else do the damage. Well, it's a little tougher to do when you don't want to walk the leadoff man of a game. We'll see how that pans out. But let's go back to the calls. Philip and Mendon. Hey, Philip, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Brad, how you doing, sir?
Good, thanks.
First comment, you're right on the Applegate situation with the watches. The Red Sox and Yankees both were fined. There was an investigation by Rob Mansfield, and fine. This situation and being involved in investigations myself from law enforcement is basically you check the individual's cell phone, text messages, things of this sort. And clearly that would inform you if the violations had occurred between himself and the Houston Astros management sending down the signs. Very simple. To, you know, just sweep it under the rugs is very disheartening. The other thing, I just like you had mentioned Bregman, the moving up to first spot, I just want to comment, you know, himself, Aaron Judge from the Yankees, the last series, poking the bear, the Red Sox, from New York to Bregman and playing his, you know, Twitter with a home run, 3 in a row against Valdi. We saw that, how that happened. I think the Red Sox overall are focused. You saw JBJ last night focus, Grand Slam. You saw Pence, the great home run. The only concern I have is third base. If it's a tight, you know, Justin Verlander, say 4-3 or whatever, we're up, and either Devers or our other third baseman's in there. Maybe they, at least in the late innings, bring in Brock Holt.
Yeah, they, well, Philip, I'm going to cut you off, but thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
They said, Alex Cora said today that Brock Holt is not an option at third base right now. He is a guy who they feel like, obviously, they want to keep him at second base. They feel like that they can keep Devers there. There's no perfect answers when it comes to third base of the Red Sox defensively. And so they're going to have to go forth and figure it out. That's their lot in life. And, you know, when it comes to Bregman, and I wrote about this the other day, you know, so Bregman does a thing with Instagram. All right, fine. You know, and the Red Sox, they are clearly a team that like to latch on to that motivational stuff. The Patriots did it. It's fine. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to do that. But you know, we have to be realistic about this. We have to be realistic. Is that really going to make a huge difference when they have to focus in? Are they going to get more nervous or less nervous because of an Instagram post? No. For us, it's great. I said it. I wrote it. This is Alex Bregman. Thank you. Thank you. Because you get some villains every once in a while. We're going back, I'm going to date myself, Freddie Mitchell, remember? He stunk. He was a wide receiver, talked a lot of crap, whatever. But to me, when you have the best player of the team, and yes, everybody, Alex Bregman, I think, is the best overall player on this team, for this Houston Astros team. When you have the best overall player of the team, do what he did and basically stake it, you know, the flag in the ground, even though he deleted it. Bad move, Alex Bregman. But you do what you do. You get fired up on the field. You be that guy. If he comes back to Fenway Park, when he comes back to Fenway Park, now he's going to be booed all up and down. That's what we want. We don't have enough of that. We certainly don't have enough of that in baseball. And you have to appreciate Alex Bregman is an awesome player. He is their best player, I think, from top to bottom. But, you know, so that's what makes it even better. That was makes this series even better. How can you not love that? And if the Red Sox want to latch onto that, great. Great. Super. It all spices it up. And that's the thing about this whole series, and we're going to get back to the calls in a second. The whole series is insane. We went through last night, and we had, obviously, the spy thing. But you also had that play in left field with Tony Kemp. Did he catch the ball or didn't he catch the ball? You have all these things. Now we have Chris Sale. We have one thing after the other. We have the Instagram. And in the middle of it, we have the Red Sox up 2-1 with a chance to go up 3-1. It's crazy. So let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Henry in Rosendale. What's going on, Henry? How you doing?
I agree. Let's get back to the baseball game.
Yeah, but you know what? But it's okay, Henry. I think it's okay. We can talk about this other stuff because it always comes back to the game.
I agree, though, that, yeah, you're right. There should be consequences, and I agree with that. But let me say this. I was impressed with the relief last night, and why in the heck are they still bringing in Kimbrel in the ninth? Now, if Evaldi goes in for the eighth and does a great job, keep him in for the ninth. Why this obsession with a guy who creates panic every time he comes in? Kimbrel gets everybody nervous. He can't get anything other than a fastball over the plate. He throws in the dirt. He hits people. I mean, what's the point? Why do they keep bringing him in? He cannot deal with the pressure. It's obvious to everybody except, I guess, Cora. Now, I like Cora's decisions, except that he relies on him, Kimbrel, in the ninth inning. Don't do that. It's stupid. First of all, the guy cannot deal with the stress. It's obvious to anyone who watches the game.
Well, Henry, thanks for the call. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this bears out. Because my easy answer to that is, well, Kimbrell's the guy. He has been the guy. He's been one of the best closers in baseball. You can't just jump ship on him because he had a bad outing at Yankee Stadium. He looked a little uneasy the other night. But if you keep going through this postseason and you keep having the same results and you aren't getting the results, you aren't getting the production, you aren't getting the finality of these games, then I don't know. I mean, you have to think about things a little bit different, but we're a long way away from that. And we're about two or three of disasters away from Craig Kimbrell away from that. That's just how it is. They're going to keep doing that. That's how they have enough faith in it. It's the same thing with David Price. People kept saying, well, how could you start David Price? Because the people in that clubhouse, Alex Cora included, have more confidence in that guy and in guys like Kimbrell than anybody else. They see the best in those guys more than anybody else. That's just how it is, and that's really how it's going to continue to be. That's how it was with the bullpen, and that's actually working out. The guys leading up to Kimbrell, that's actually working out okay. John in Andover, how you doing, John? John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
Hey, John, what's happening?
Hey, man, how you doing? So my thing here is you're doing the right thing. You're keeping it to baseball because it's a business, and this is really bad for business from a lot of perspectives. And you talked about the length of games, the reason why games are long, et cetera. If they can't go ahead and make a business decision about this and just say it's verboten, it's not going to be tolerated, it'll continue, it'll proliferate. And, you know, technology does nothing but get tinier and better, and it'll just use more ways. So if you don't go ahead and nip it in the bud at this, then it's just going to proliferate and it's just going to continue on as before, and it's not a good idea for baseball as a business and a sport.
John, you are so correct, and so I want to get your opinion on this. So, number one, you are right on the money. This is going to keep going and keep going and keep going unless Manfred really lowers the boom, puts the hammer down, and said this is going to happen if you are caught for anything along these lines. So my question to you, John, is what was your reaction today? So, because they had no reaction. They said, case closed, we accept the Astros' explanation, we're moving forward. What was your take on that?
So, I thought baseball's was obviously weak, like something beyond weak that I couldn't even imagine them having put out. But even Hinch's statement was, I mean, I would expect that guy to own this and say we made a mistake, but I guess there's not enough political capital in owning this. And matter of fact, he's probably, since he's in the middle of the playoffs, putting himself at a great disadvantage. But baseball itself does not take this seriously. So as a result, the teams will not take this seriously in the future. And that's really the problem for baseball. And the fact that the commissioner can't man up and make a decision is the crux of it, right? The root cause.
No, John, thanks for the call. You're right on the money. And one thing that really peeved me today, of all the things that Lou Now and Hinch said and Major League Baseball did, the thing about how dare that somebody put this kid, this hardworking kid who was going to college and just trying to help the organization, how dare they put his picture up on the internet and publicize his name? Are you kidding me? How dare you send the kid down to do it? Like, if you want to do it, you go do it. Because you know if you're sending that kid down there and he's getting kicked out, which he got kicked out in Cleveland and now he gets kicked out in Boston, that at some point some attention is going to be drawn to him. And they're saying, oh, well, this is awful. That, of all the things that they said, the other stuff I get. They're trying to protect themselves. They're trying to be politically correct. Everybody is. Everybody in baseball is trying to be politically correct because everyone is doing something along these lines. But that statement said, how dare the media do that, would publicize this kid? No, how dare you send that kid down there? Because once you do, that's what's going to happen. That, to me, that was inexcusable. 617-779-7937. Let's go to one more call before the break. Mike in North Providence. Hey, Mike, what's happening?
Hi, Rob. Yeah, you know, with regards to what you're talking about, first off, this is a huge game, of course. So they go up 3-1 here. I mean, I think this is mortal lock at this point.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mike. I mean, you can't say that. You have Verlander and Garrett Cole sitting there.
Yeah, well, I think they can knock them down. I think they can beat. Listen, that's three games to go, two of them at home. And I'm not saying it's virtually guaranteed. I'm not saying Listen, you're talking about pretty much 95%.
It's a big game tonight. I agree with that. Yes.
So the thing is, with regards to you talking about moving Bregman up, I got into this with Maloney earlier this season talking about Bryce Harper when they moved him to lead off over the Nationals. As soon as it happened, I called up and I made my case. And this, we actually did this over 2 days, where I was saying, "Listen, they're going to stop walking this guy." Because you just automatically walk the leadoff hitter. You can't pitch around the leadoff hitter, especially when he's got good hitters behind him. And that's exactly what happened in the end. They just totally stopped walking Harper when he moved to leadoff. He actually went into a slump at the same time, but it was really the simple fact that you just can't pitch around a person in that position. And I think it's had a big deal with Mookie's great season. But if you look around the league, you have Lindor, Blackman, Springer, but now it's going to be Bregman. Matt Carpenter batting leadoff, but even the number two spot, guys like Judge, Trout, Josh Donaldson won an MVP out of the number two spot. And I looked at Mookie's numbers earlier this season, and not that long ago, and he was only coming up to the plate with two outs about 25% of the time, and his largest chunk was with nobody out. And that makes a big difference about how they can pitch to you. They have to be more aggressive. They have to try to get you out. Especially if the guy has any speed whatsoever.
Well, Mike, I mean, let's play this out tonight. It's clear. I love the fact that the Red Sox are taking this approach. I mean, I love the little strategies when it comes to postseason about how hitters are approached. And, I go back to Miguel Cabrera in 2013. They would bring in Tozawa and throw fastballs on the outside corner. Boom, boom, boom. You see Marwin Gonzalez, all they're throwing them is curveballs. But with Bregman, there's like, if we walk him, we walk him. But let's play this out tonight, Mike. You have Bregman leading off. You want to do that? You want to walk him? Now you have George Springer up. Now you have Altuve up. That's not a good way to start a game. And
absolutely
so
not.
It does change the dynamic, and I wouldn't be surprised. And Cora said this today just a few minutes ago. He said, we're still going to pitch to the edges. I don't think they're going to change your strategy, but it makes things a whole lot more uncomfortable.
Well, I look at it as like people oftentimes want to think of like an arithmetic, but in reality, baseball is like calculus. It's more, it's less. So what the Houston's hoping for is that the Red Sox merely just have to be more aggressive with them. Because you're dealing with a sport where if you're successful 30% of the time hitting, you're good. And there's a big difference between being a 250 hitter and a 300 hitter. So that's what they're banking on. And I think maybe Alex is saying, well, at least there won't be that many people on base ahead of them. That's the reverse side of it.
Yeah, old Mike, we got to get to a break. Thanks for the call. And by the way, I should remind everyone that I will be on after the game tonight for a Red Sox review because I know that a lot of people are going to be fired up and a lot of people are going to be wanting to talk about whatever happened tonight. I always enjoy those because these playoff games, there's always something to pick through. This isn't like the middle of the season. This isn't like just rolling out, hey, maybe we're going to talk about Patriots. No, Game four, Red Sox review tonight. I am telling you, stay up, and there is going to be a lot of venting or a lot of celebration. I don't know which side you're going to land on. I encourage everybody at Torchy's Tacos in Houston, or I'm just reading off signs here at Minute Maid Park, everybody to call up because it is a great time. It is going to be, Chris Scheim, it's going to be a party tonight. That's what it's going
to
be.
I love to hear that, Rob.
Right? Okay. I know that you're going to stay up for it. 617-779-7937. Right now, we're going to be with you all the way up until Red Sox pregame with Mike Menansky. I'm Rob Bradford. We're going to take a break right now. Be back right
now. Back to WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I remember Randy Johnson, and this is before I play, when he pitched with my brother in 1995 in the with the Mariners. I mean, I was, whatever it was. I knew every pitch that was coming from the glove, and he still became a Hall of Famer. So at the end, all these talk about tipping and signs and all that, you know what? The pitcher executes his pitches. The hitter's not going to hit it, The hitter's going to have a good game plan like we did yesterday against Keuchel. That's going to happen in the first three hitters of the game, and then he's going to make adjustments, and then he's going to go 5 innings, So, I don't know, man. I was thinking about it the whole night, and it's kind of, like, ridiculous that, with these two talented teams, the talk is about stealing signs and tipping pitches and all this stuff.
Well, that's Alex Cora meeting with the media just about 45 minutes ago or so. And, you know, it's interesting because he mentions that it is sort of ridiculous, but this is what we do. We look at these series and all the things that are involved in the series, and there's been so many different things. And last year, Cora was in the middle of it, the Yu Darvish tipping the pitches thing, and remember the baseballs weren't quite right. There's always something. And last night, you go back to, it could have been an enormous play, the Tony Kemp catch. Did he catch it or didn't he catch on the Steve Pierce two-out fly ball to left field? If the Red Sox lose that game goes down in Red Sox history. I'm sorry, that play goes down in Red Sox history. It's an enormous play. It absolutely does. And we watched the video. To me, I watched it 1,000 times, and I'm like, it hit the tile just before going to the glove. I think definitively it did. But then I talked to other people, and they say with just as much certainty, no, it went, the glove hit the tile. It went to the glove first. Shime, what do you think? I haven't heard everybody today. What was the consensus? Did he catch it? Didn't he catch it? What was it?
I think it's still kind of back and forth. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, I think you have your loyalist to each side, and then
I would like to think that people have eyeballs and their eyeballs aren't totally working just depending on where their loyalties lie. I got to imagine that you can look at that and say either you see it or you don't. Jen or Den. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what Jen or Den is. I'm sorry.
You don't know what Jen? You didn't remember that? The people didn't know I would say my wife's name or Den? It was like the Laurel and what was the thing? What was the back?
Oh,
of
the Laurel and Yanni, that thing.
Yes, it was all the rage. But this is the same sort of thing. I feel the same. It's getting the same reaction. Was there one person on the air today? Did you hear anybody? Well, first of all, let me ask you, what did you think?
I thought it wasn't.
You thought it wasn't what?
Catch.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You thought it wasn't a catch. I didn't think it was either.
Yeah.
I thought that it hit. I thought that you could see an imprint on the tile.
Agreed.
Right before it goes to the glove. So, I mean, but that goes back to what we're talking about, what Cora is saying, I can't believe we're focusing on this. But this is what we do in these series. We focus on little things like that, and that was, sure, that was in the game. But we're going to focus on the little things like the pitch tipping. You know, I wrote a story leading into the playoffs about how these things matter more in the postseason. Johnny Gomes told me, he said, you know, listen, in the postseason, talent isn't the thing that plays totally. Certainly almost 50%. Talent isn't the thing. It's the little things. And he cited pitch tipping. And one of the things he also cited, and I heard other people cite this as well, is that you look at the David Ortiz Grand Slam against Joaquin Benoit in 2013. The Red Sox had Benoit's changeup. The pitch that he threw Ortiz, they had his changeup. They knew when he was going to throw a changeup and when he didn't. Now, David Ortiz wasn't a guy who usually relied on that. As Alex Cora said, a lot of hitters can't function that way. They don't use that information. Evidently, talking to people, Ortiz wasn't one of these guys who really thrived on, hey, you know what, the pitcher's tipping his pitches. He'd rather react himself. But just knowing that the Red Sox going to that series, when they met in those meetings leading into that series with Detroit, they told their hitters, they said, Joaquin Benoit, when he sets up this way, he's throwing a changeup. When he sets up that way, he's not. That is a telling thing, and that happens all throughout baseball. That happens all throughout the postseason. Those are the sort of things that are so hugely important, whether it's, you go back to 2007, Matt Holliday getting picked off by Jonathan Papelbon. Remember that? That was a scouting report. Those are the little things. And so when we talk about in the report that came out last night about the scouting and the stealing the signs and this and that, that's what the postseason is all about. It is. It's not just running out there and say, hey, you know what? You have the best players. You're going to win. No. I think that people have looked at these rosters and said, hey, you know, the Astros are going to win this series. Well, the Red Baseball or the players and their talents, this is how it is. Welcome to the postseason. This is how it is. Every little edge matters, and that's what we're finding out right now. 617-779-7937. I'm going to pick through real quick before we go to a break here. lineup. We mentioned at the top of the hour when we did the trending now, but I think it should be taken of note right now. Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, Martinez, Xander Bogaerts. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Rafael Devers playing third base, hitting fifth. Nunez, report on him. He had the ankle injury. He's okay. He's okay to play. I think they're starting to get the feeling that, hey, you know what? Rafael Devers is swinging the bat pretty well. You got to ride the hot hand no matter what. Whether Nunez had the ankle or doesn't have the ankle, Devers might be the guy to go to. Steve Pierce back at first base, no surprise. Mitch Moreland, get used to it. Pinch hitter from here on in. Maybe if you make the World Series, he plays in the field, but not right now. Brock Holt at second base, no surprise. You have Charlie Morton on the mound. Kinsler hasn't looked good at the plate at all. Christian Vasquez catching. Before, a little bit of a surprise when he caught Porcello at Yankee Stadium, but obviously Porcello went out, pitched very well. There's a comfort zone there. Jackie Bradley hitting ninth. So there's the Red Sox lineup, 617-779-7937. Chris, my job is to get people. We have one more segment to go before Red Sox pregame show. Our job is you and me. Our job is to get people ready to roll heading into the game. What is it, game four? I get it mixed up. Game four, right? Game four?
Game four. That is correct, sir.
It's because this is all running together, which is fine. I'm staring at Torchy's Tacos. I'm still befuddled that you guys actually thought that there was a Torchy's Tacos in Massachusetts.
Blame Andy. That's all on him.
Well, I got confused, Rob.
Google fooled me.
Stupid Google.
Well, I Googled Torchy's Tacos, and it showed like three locations on the map, but it was like, did you mean this taco place?
I was so ready to get a sponsorship for Torchy Tacos. Oh, we were so close. Anyway, instead, we will power on. I can't get my eyes off this Torchy Taco sign in center field. You can look at it if you watch the game tonight. But don't watch the game. Listen to the game right here. And the Red Sox pregame starts in just about a half an hour. We're going to take you right up until that. But first, we're going to take a break. Trending now. One more segment with me, Rod Bradford. Then the great Mike Mananski leading into the great Tim Neverett, Joe Castiglione. For game four. Be back right after this.
Now it's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm Rob Bradford, back with you. I'm live from Minute Maid Park getting ready for the Red Sox-Astros Game 4 American League Championship Series. As I said, they're trending now. Milwaukee and the Dodgers, they're tied at 1 in the 6-inning game that's going on forever because Milwaukee used 15,000 pitchers. But that's how baseball is evolving. We've been talking about everything. We've been talking about the cheating stuff. We've been talking about Chris Sale. I did not mention trending now. That's my bad. Chris Sale is not going to pitch tomorrow. The Red Sox announced in Game 5. Still too weak after his illness. Hasn't started eating solid foods. They think he can be ready for Game 6. We'll see about that. As for who is going to pitch in Game 5, Alex Cora isn't tipping his hand. We're going to see how it plays out tonight. Possibilities, David Price, Eduardo Rodriguez, even Joe Kelly. Kind of along the lines of what they did when Price had to be pulled in the Yankees game there. You go to about an inning or so with somebody and then maybe bring someone else in. They stayed in those games. They don't seem overly concerned about piecing it together. We'll see about that. But Chris Sale right now is not ready to go, is not ready to pitch in a game 5, maybe a game 6. They seem optimistic about it. We'll see. So we've been talking about that, and obviously we've been talking about the game coming up here. Huge, huge game. Tim and Joe with a call, Mutt with a pregame, Alex Bregman leading off for the Astros. That's a big switch for Houston. With the Red Sox, Devers at third, Steve Pierce at first, Brock Holt at second, Vasquez catching. I don't think any major, major surprises. But we said at the top of the show, this is a big game. We can talk about all the other stuff. We can talk about the cheating and the scandals and all the stuff that we've been talking about, all the live long day that people have been called in, that our show's been doing a great job on, all of it. We can talk about all of that. That's fine. But now you have about an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes until the Red Sox can really, really send a message to these Houston Astros, go up 3-1, and it is amazing. You look at what the Red Sox have done on the road so far in the playoffs. I mean, we cannot ignore that. I wrote about this today. They've won 113 games, and that's what you heard after the game. Hey, you know what? You don't win this many games by accident. You don't win this many games by accident. Well, I think there's something to that now. I think that we have been sort of maybe diminishing their accomplishment, how good they might be, because they went into Yankee Stadium, obviously blew them out. They really had control of that last game until Kimbrel came in at the end, and then last night, 8-2 win. You can't not ignore what they're doing. They have not allowed a home run on the road so far in the postseason, which goes a long, long way if anybody hears me talk about the importance of home runs in the postseason. And obviously everyone knows that. I should also note, as I said this before, after the game tonight, the Bradfo Show goes late night. Red Sox review. I'm going to be with you all the way up until 2 o'clock to react to whatever happens. Right now we're reacting to what's happened already and what is going to happen tonight in game four. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bucky and Melrose. Hey, Bucky, how you doing?
How you doing, Rob? A pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for giving me my opinion on this. I think this whole cheating scandal, so to speak, whatever, you were just talking about David Ortiz back in the day in Detroit when he hit that grand slam. I think it all comes down just to scouting. They used to send scouts to foresee the next series or whatever. And from what I'm reading and everything is that they seem like the scouting department's getting trimmed back a little bit. So maybe they resort into this, high-tech sort of way of trying to, cyber scout, shall we say. But I don't know. It just seems like it comes down to, scouting, first of all. Because if David Ortiz knew that he tipped it to be a breaking ball and hit a grand slam, wouldn't the scouts see that beforehand?
Yeah, no. Well, that was – and Bucky, it's a great point. That's exactly what happened. That wasn't that was a scout thing. That was an advanced scout thing. And actually, Daniel Avanzi, the pitching coach, was the advanced scout. And I'm not saying he was the one who found this out, but that's the type of guy who finds it out. And you're right. They went away from having their advanced scout on the road all the time this year. Now, Bucky, the difference is when it comes to the postseason, the teams will put a guy on teams, and usually multiple guys, on a team in person, and they'll advance them in person along with the video, along with the analytics like they do in the regular season. But you're right, times have changed. I think the overall takeaway, Bucky, is that this is everything. It's absolutely everything. It's the video. It's the scouts in person. It's the kid next to the dugout taking the pictures. It's everything.
Okay, let me ask you one more thing, Rob, before I let you go. And I appreciate all your hard work and stuff. You do a great job. It's like, do you think they should change scouting rules of some sort? Do you think they should allow some sort of, lack of a better term, like technology to scout these guys? Or should they just,
Bucky, thanks for the call. I hear you. Thanks for the call, Bucky. I appreciate it. This is sort of what we're talking about, is the cat out of the bag, as has the horse left the barn, whatever cliche analogy you want to use. Like, have they not come down on teams enough? We saw when the Apple Watch thing came out last year, I think a lot of people were like, what, Apple Watch? What are you talking about? How does that work? And then everyone in baseball saying, no, of course, that's what teams are doing. That was an eye-opening thing. And now we look back at that of saying, yeah, well, Apple Watch, that's nothing. You have some of the things that we're hearing now. Are you kidding me? As I said, Buster Olney, I think, has a story up on ESPN talking about teams, thinking that the manager's office is bugged, the hitting tunnels are bugged. The Astros taking their bats away from the stadium because they're worried about them. Things like that. I mean, that's the sort of thing that I think that everybody, we talk about the paranoia that Alex Cora referenced earlier today, that the paranoia is a problem. That's what we're talking about, but there's a reason for the paranoia because of all this stuff that's going on, and it's not going to end. It's just not going to end. What can end is people breaking the rules. What's not going to end is the technology of people trying to push the envelope. Charlotte in Worcester, how you doing, Charlotte?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Happy game four day.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I have what may or may not be a stupid question, but I wondered, does Ian Kinsler perhaps play third base? Has he ever? Could he ever?
It's not a stupid question because I actually thought about that last night. And maybe we can be stupid together if you like, but I don't think either one of us are stupid when it comes to this. And the answer is he's not playing third base. He's not. They're not, Charlotte, they're not even putting Brock Holt at third base, and he's actually played there somewhat this year, spring training, things like that. Yeah, and so, but Charlotte, I think your reason you bring this up is because you're worried about defense at third base, right?
Well, you know, I am a little bit. And you know, when they know your weakness, they lean toward it. So I can't help but be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, no, Charlotte, thanks for the call. It's all right. It's okay. This is what's great about this series, about these series, is that we pick on little things, and now we get to the fourth game of the series, and we can identify, okay, this is working, this isn't working. This is the advantage, this isn't the advantage. And the perfect example of that is Bregman, and Bregman in a couple different ways. Today we talked about it. Bregman's being moved up to the leadoff spot in the batting order for the Astros. Alex Cora said, I never thought they would take George Springer out of that leadoff spot. Saw how effective he was there. Well, the reason he's doing it, we talked about this, that they're pitching around Bregman. They're saying, hey, you know what? If you don't swing the bat, we're going to walk you, and we'll take our chances with everybody else. Well, if you're in the leadoff spot, you can start the game. Let's play this out. First inning, you walked Alex Bregman because you want to pitch around him and he's not swinging. Now you have Springer up. Now you have Altuve up. That's an uncomfortable feeling for any pitcher coming out of the gate in the first inning. It's not a bad move, I don't think. But Alex Cora said, we are still going to pitch to the edges. We aren't going to change. We'll see about that. And the other thing with Bregman, to me, that third base, juxtaposing the third base position, oh, my goodness. How can you not appreciate how good Alex Bregman is playing third base? And we know that going back to those games previously, even last night, if the Red Sox make plays at third base, I think they've cost themselves at least four runs so far not making plays at third base, maybe even more. Alex Bregman, he's saved his team so many runs. I mean, they just keep hitting into him. He's making every play, every throw. You have to appreciate what he's doing. But that's what this thing is all about. We are breaking down every little thing, and that's when you get to game four of a series, you have a pretty good idea what's happening. I'm looking right now, game five of the Dodgers-Milwaukee series. Dodgers up 2-1. And we know what Milwaukee's doing. This is painful to watch, to be perfectly honest with you. But they know how they're approaching things. There's no mystery now. So now the Dodgers have to adjust, and they are. They're up 2-1. I thought last night, Milwaukee's going to run away with it. But they are adjusting. Milwaukee's throwing out a bunch of relievers. The Dodgers are adjusting. You get to this point in the season, game four of a series. You get to this point in a series, you know what's going on. I know that Torchy's Tacos is only in Houston, Texas, or only in Texas anyway. And Chris, if we got to anything today, we understand the importance of identifying whether you're a soft taco or a hard taco guy, right?
Exactly. We only ask the hard-hitting questions over here behind the booth.
I mean, I feel like if that wasn't asked in the Alex Cora press conference today, someone wasn't doing their job.
See, if I was there, it would have been the first question out of my mouth other than, you know, maybe if Chris Sale is starting or not.
Yes. And why is the media dining so poor here in Houston?
Exactly. You guys should be bringing in tacos. It just all makes sense.
I tell you what, back in the day, Red Sox, lobster tails, and steak. They knew how to, like, get people on their side, absolutely. Anyway, so I'm Rob Bradford. A reminder, once again, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to have the pleasure of being here after this game with you all the way up until 2 o'clock. I think we've only been going to 1 o'clock recently, but because the Red Sox are up 2-1, let's face it, they lose tonight, 2-2. Now we're in the thick of it. They win, 3-1. Now you're a game away from the World Series. It is, you know what, crunching time. It is time to get serious about that. That's why we're going at 2 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to be with you all the way up until then. Sean, where are you going to be? You going to be asleep?
Oh, no, I'll be watching the game.
For
sure.
There you go.
100%, I'll be watching the game, and then I'll be listening to you.
Oh, thank you. That's what I was going for.
You need an expert opinion on tacos. You let me know. I'll call in.
And I've been saying Mike Manansky is taking us all the way up into the game. That is correct, right?
That is correct, Rob.
Okay, Mike Manansky up next with the Red Sox pregame show, which is obviously always awesome. Not only with Mutt's on it, everyone's on it. And Joe, Tim with the call live from here, where I'm sitting right now. Minute Maid Park. It's going to be a really, really interesting night of baseball. All of these games have been interesting so far for a lot of different reasons. Big game tonight. Rick Porcello, Charlie Morton, Mutt's up next. Thanks. I'll see you after the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.